already praising this morning. Everybody now, just. Serve him in all your heart, you might promise that. Don't stop.
Request here, Brother Watson, request prayer for his wife, Sister Marjorie, who is expecting to deliver a baby at any time and is very weak in her body. Also, Sister Ayers, request prayer for severe pains in her face. Also, for the strengthening of her spiritual life. Brother Hubert Sammy, request prayer for a relative suffering with pains throughout his body. Almighty God, we stand in divine presence, and that is a confession of our hearts this morning. Thou art worthy. It is by your worthiness we stand here. Nothing that we have done, Father, but by the provision that you have made, the amazing grace of Almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, providing himself a sacrifice not for himself, but for us. That by that sacrifice we could come into his divine presence. We could be accepted this morning. Our prayers could be accepted. Oh God, how your prophet said, if there is no blood in heaven, then how could the prayers come up before God? Because it must come up through the blood. Then and only then is acceptable. And Lord, we thank you that we could come and offer the prayer of faith. Look into that supreme sacrifice, that atonement, where the price was paid for healing. And Lord, we offer up the prayer, it can come to the blood that speaks better things. It speaks healing this morning. That's why we can stand here, Father, and have confidence on behalf of these that are needy. That's why these could come, Lord, standing for themselves and even on behalf of others. Because they know that there is a sacrifice. They know that there is one worthy, a high priest, who get touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask that you would touch these and you would heal them. You would grant these requests, Father. Oh God, for these needy ones, Lord. Lord God, without a touch from you, Lord God, they would just remain there in that condition. Helpless, Lord, without anyone to, Lord, reach out on their behalf. But Lord, we thank you this morning for that promise that whatsoever we ask, when we stand praying in the name of Jesus Christ, we shall receive it. Almighty God, even us, Lord, as we stand here in your presence, we didn't just come, oh God, to be gathered here. But Lord, we come to receive something from you also this morning. Our need might not be physical healing, but oh God, for our souls, something divine, Father, that would drop down from heaven this morning. Oh God, our souls could prosper. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, may you grant it this morning. And oh God, we can see the increase in our lives. For you said one son, one water. But God, give the increase. Oh God, we look in our lives and that increase this morning, Father. That, oh God, we can increase in faith, in knowledge, in virtue. Oh God, we can increase, Father. See a greater measure of the Holy Spirit coming forth our lives. To the praise of your name, to your honor and to your glory. Heavenly Father, may you bless each and every one that is gathered in here this morning. Oh God, these that come expecting to receive something from you, knowing that the hour is late, that time is far spent. And oh God, this is the hour of adoption, when you are taking individuals aside. Oh God, that clung their lives with a crown of glory. These, oh God, who have been tried and tested and have proven themselves worthy, that you can come and say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Lord God, in a private ceremony, we can take them aside, a monk transfiguration, Father. Hallelujah! And then, Lord God, to them, you can display glory in your power to this unbelieving generation. Hallelujah! Heavenly Father, I pray, oh God, that these things become so real in our hearts. In this hour we are living in, Lord, that the Holy Spirit could so crystallize the Word in our souls to be caught up into that divine experience of the promised Word of God coming to pass in this hour. Bless us, Lord. May we find that key to our calling. Hallelujah. May we stand with great faith. Hallelujah. In the things that you have promised concerning us in this hour. Oh God, let it be the center of our lives. Make me more than alive to us as the power of divine revelation. Oh God, would make this so real in our hearts. It would take such a grip upon our lives, Father. That it would turn us around if we are walking the wrong direction. It would pull us away from every influence. Lord, if we've been influenced contrary to your word. Oh God, would set us in our course. Where we can have true fellowship with you. Where we can be in harmony with you. Bless us today. And get on in glory in our midst. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, to whom you owe all things. Amen and amen. Return our Bibles. I'd like to read in Daniel again. Chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine like a brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished the breaking up of the power of the holy people who are scattered, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Gentlemen, take some in chapter 7 also. I won't read all of it because from verse 4 to 8 was speaking about the four beasts we together on Tuesday night. There is the four kingdoms, from Babylon to Rome. And then verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment is white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered unto him. Now keep your mind on this little group here. 1,000,000s ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. I beheld till even the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beast, they had the dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And I would like to get Revelation 1. Verse 9. I John also, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it on to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the breast, the golden girdle. His hair and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass as they burn in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes one more time. Father, if you have read that word, we now look unto you and depend upon the Holy Spirit, the author of the word, to reveal it, to make it plain, to quicken it. Lord, to give us the true and correct understanding. Our lives might be influenced and shaped. Oh God, to be more like Jesus Christ. We could stand and be overcomers in this evil age that we are living in. For we know it is written that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So Lord, may you reveal your word, and may you bless our hearts, and may it be the influence upon our lives in this hour that we are living in. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome everyone in the house of God this morning, and wish that God really bless you, increase your faith. We're really glad to see so many out this morning and just coming, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, expecting to receive a great blessing from Him. Amen. it's such a tremendous time for us at this time in the church here. You know, to really see what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. And we all want to have a true understanding of what is happening right in our midst. You know, many a times it's good that, as the prophet says, people can look back and see what God did. Be really happy and rejoice over it. And then you can look forward and see what He promised to do. And, you know, glad that God made such a promise, And then God is doing something right in the midst. And yet they fail to recognize what God is doing. But how good it is for us that we can recognize what God is doing amongst us. As we look and we see that as Christians we all at some time, those who might be believers and baptized and believe in the message of the hour, that at some time in your life, you know, you didn't know the word of God that God sent in this day. You didn't even know Jesus Christ. And you had an experience and that changed your life. Some of you might have come to many different organizations, come to different places before you come to where you are today. And because of that, you know, coming through, you have seen the hand of God in your life, bringing it from stage to stage, until where you are at this present time. And because of that, you know, you come from somewhere. God did something for you. And though the devil might try to make you forget that and put it somewhere back in the distant past, yet ever so often the Holy Spirit could come and let you know that the reason that God did that is because he had a purpose in your life. And many a times, you know, we could get away from that purpose and get away from the influence of the revelation of that purpose upon our lives. And then we get there, we find then that those things just become a remembrance. Those things just become something that happened to you at some time. And when you look back there, there's a time, you look back and say, you know, I was going good at one time. I loved the Lord at one time. At one time, I was really be dedicated and be desperate. And maybe at this time, I'm not fervent as the way I ought to be. But then, you know, if you feel that way this morning, some of you, then right here in this service, the Holy Spirit, who have gathered us together, who is here with us, could actually bring you to a place where that could become the same way it was back there upon your life. You know, the Bible says, I think we were preaching along that line sometime here recently. See, awake, seeing there's high time. Because nearer than when you first believe. Amen. Amen. And what we believe in is we believe in unto a promise. Amen. And we made a decision to forsake everything, to follow God and see that promise come to pass in our life. Amen. Amen. And now it's nearer than when we first believe. Then we are looking in this hour to see God bring those things to pass. And how we need the word of God constantly, and how we need to stay in the word of God constantly, because if we fail to stay in that place, then the influence that it will take to keep your minds, to keep your hearts, to keep your life in that channel, set in that course, constantly striving towards those things, will be absent. And from the time that is absent, the enemy quickly will be able to get in there, because it's not like he is sitting off somewhere there watching how God is dealing with his people. He is trying constantly alongside God is working to get in there himself, to get God out of the picture, to get you under his influence. So that is why sometimes you find a person to be set there for 1 minute, they could be so high here, and the very next day they could be so low, quiet down here. Because the devil is not a spectator sitting down there, you know, watching how great God works and admiring God works and just applauding whenever God does something great in your life, you know, and the devil is not like that. Amen. You know, some people sometimes may have that kind of idea that, you know, it's a great thing, you know, that God is doing for them, and, you know, Satan is just maybe just admiring the way God is working, and whenever God is something for a believer, he's just as happy, and he applauds, you know, and kind of cheer them on and tell them, well, keep going on, you know, God is doing a great work in your life, and, you know, and then they have nothing to be bothered about. But you find then that people of their own self, sometimes they find, well, how come it's going so good? And one day and next day, I just seem to be so far away from what I was yesterday. Amen. You know, and it's only because from the time the enemy could get in there, because he's constantly trying to undermine, break down, confuse your mind to what God is doing. You see, because the one that we're talking about, he's not confused as to who God is. Bible says the devil believe in one God and tremble. It has taken people for a long time to get a real revelation who God is. But the devil already have a revelation who God is. He already know about his time. For Revelation 12, when he was cast down, he knew it, his time was short. Amen. You see, so when you look at that, you have to actually realize then that what you're up against is somebody who's working to derail you, to confuse you, to undermine you, to destroy you, and they're doing it consciously and strategically. And they're not doing it alone by themselves. You have a whole army with him. Amen. Amen. Who is working alongside with him to actually set you up and destroy you and everything else. And that's why revelation is so important, and constantly saying the word is so important, and giving yourself over to the word is so important, and dying out to yourself, though it takes pain, is so important. It's important. Because all you have to do is just slack your riding for one moment. All you have to do is just fail to give the earnest heed to the things you have heard. Just don't mix the word with faith. Just take it light. And just let go the reins for a little while. If you want to find out if the devil is really working. And if he's working honestly. Amen. Amen. See, to actually pull the church back and actually destroy the faith of the believers. And that's why you find the devil in this day of work. You know, sometimes you as doing some reading there and seeing that how the Roman Catholic Church would spend millions of dollars just actually cough up a few things. Amen. That they don't want people to know. Amen. You see, the price that people will pay, this is what I want to get, the price that people will pay and the extent that people will go just to get rid of certain things, you see, that could be a hindrance to them. And you realize the devil is a person, the extent that he would go, you see, to destroy one person. And then I look in there and read on about the Jews who recently right here released about 230 I can't call that figure wrong, but it quite a couple hundred prisoners, you see, for the release of three Jews. Because to them, a Jew is so important. That life is so valuable. That they don't think, well, the enemy will be 230 stronger to come against us. And we will only be three people stronger in our army to keep fighting against them. They're not thinking like that. Because those lives, the heritage, the destiny, the promise, what was given unto them is so important. You see, and is your value put on things? And sometimes for one believer, what the devil will do and the extent he will do to get one believer. Because you see, one believer is like to try to get the Bible says, when God bless one, he bless the whole body. Amen. Amen. And when one feels pain, the whole body feels pain. Amen. So when you actually look and see then that the enemy, if he can destroy one person,
is actually the name of Jesus Christ. Because let's say, for instance, the devil could get a man like the prophet in some form of blackmail or some form of thing. And maybe I hold him in, you know, there that he would afraid to confess it. Because he's standing the people he associated with. And he had pride that he was afraid to be seen, you know, that way. That people would see him that way. And his image, and to preserve it was important to him. And afterwards, he died and all these things. Then it was discovered, and the proof was revealed and made known. That's going to destroy believers. That's going to destroy the message. That's going to undermine faith in what you believe. That's going to bring questions towards God and the move of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And he, knowing the importance, there was one man standing there, and the price he had to pay, that even when the devil tried to bribe it $1.5 million, he sent it back like that. Amen. When they tell him just a compromise, I mean, he never changed his belief. Just compromise on your belief. Just don't mention your belief when the Spirit gives you the notion to mention it. That's what I asked him to do, you know. Didn't tell him, don't believe that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is correct. They said, when I go to the meeting, just don't mention it. Don't preach that part. Amen. Now, conviction is a deep thing, you know. Real Christian godly conviction. And the type of faith he had, and the type of conviction he had, and the price that he had, because after he looked through the church ages, and he saw what destroyed the church, was one, it's all the same. It didn't even seem wrong to begin with. What destroyed the whole world was one promise a woman was confused on. Because the world is misrepresented. And he knew in the last days, it will have to take the full word to bring it back. Because in the beginning of the Bible, one word, not a sentence or a paragraph, one word. He said, destroy the whole human race. In the middle of the Bible, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And at the end of the Bible, he said, if you add one word, or take away one word, the plague shall be added, and the name shall be taken out of the book. And to see then that it was going to take the full word to bring us back there. Nothing less than it. So the type of conviction he had, and understanding here was that same devil back in the beginning. Here is that same devil Jesus warned us about in the middle of the Bible. Here is the same devil that is going to cause many plagues to be added to many people and many names to be blocked out of the book. And he knew that he stood there with the message that was promised to bring redemption. The message that was promised to bring the resurrection. Then if we are the bride of Christ, whom that message is committed in our hands to finish up that work, to bring that resurrection, to bring that full redemption to those who die in hope and believe in, there will be a people who will not compromise with one shot. Let me show you how it is. The prophet himself, having the message put in our hands, knowing that his own life would have returned back along and depend upon us. After he preached it so strong and didn't compromise one jot, he himself wasn't going to live to bring it by himself. He was going to die and have to give it to us and depend upon us afterwards. Amen. Think about it. That's where my conviction lies. These are the things that shape me the way I am. These are the things that control me and influence me. We can't play around.
It was him alone to stand here. He to stand in perfection. Never go deviate from that word one way. He to stand here and God could have been the resurrection. Just like Jesus Christ, one man, the Son of Man, stood here and bring up the resurrection, the whole of the Old Testament. Amen. Because he said, who can condemn me of unbelief? Because he said, Satan has no place in me. Amen. Then there's one who had the same message in this day and stood in that place. And you know something? All he did was bring up some into a spiritual life who was dead in sin and trespasses. But we are to bring up the others into that spiritual life who is dead in sin and trespasses, and also those who are dead in Christ and waiting to come from the dust of the earth. Amen. And after this ministry is winded out, then we are coming back to take up a position to rule this earth. To be his government upon the face of this earth. To climax into the judgment of this world. The saints shall do it. That is why to enter in, it takes perfection. And if perfection lies ahead of you, and you see you have not yet attained, then Paul says, I forget it without pass, and I press. Amen! Towards the mark! Because God put you in this age, and the Holy Spirit, through the word opening up, is inspiring that to you. Not just to get you happy to bubble dance a little bit, but to show you the whole thing is in your hands this morning. It's resting upon you. The calling to be the real true bride of Jesus Christ. To finish out the whole thing. Amen. Those in the last days who will not see death, who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Who are alive and remain until that seventh trumpet song. Because when that seventh trumpet song, there will be two classes of people, two groups. The dead in Christ, who died for all seven ages, and those who are alive and remain, standing upon the earth. And this great mystery, we are seeing that seventh trumpet is the last trumpet. Amen. And those mystery, those trumpets, and those things that are happening there, where the coming of the Lord is taking place right in the midst of it. Where a message is going forth right in the midst of it. Where the resurrection is being set in order right in the midst of it. And you mean to tell me we've been living in an age where millions will rise, the graves will open and rise from the earth, and people won't even know it? When a little group will be actually changing their bodies, the mortal will put on mortality upon the face of the earth, and they will not make the headlines. NCB and television wouldn't catch it. It wouldn't be in a little section of the papers as news. It wouldn't be something that would be believed by the world, and it took place the day before. When then the day after? You think of it. You think of somebody waking up to a revelation and telling people, you know, yesterday millions rose who was all down through the ages, and the rest who was alive changed and they are no longer here. And for the last 40 days, they were all across the earth. If somebody tell you that this morning, you will want to believe. And you may have the right because of knowing the word and No, you are part of it. But to the natural people out there, what is important to them? You see? What is important to them is that they get an increase in pay. What is important to them is they get a better house to live in. What is important to them is they get a new car to drive. What is important to them is they go and better their education. Amen. What is important that they get some recognition? That is what the world outside here is seeking. Because they don't, you know why they're seeking those things? They don't know the hour. They don't know the program. They don't know what is happening in God's economy. None of them don't go to church, you know. None of them don't worship. None of them don't be religious for the last 3 years. You see? And where we come into daily and moving into, something is happening in the lives of believers. That these things here is not topics for debate. These things here is not things to seem knowledgeable. This is preparing a people. This is moving a people into a certain atmosphere. This is bringing up people to fulfill spoken word promises of Almighty God. These things that identify the very hour and the time that we are living in. Amen. Because much more you see that they're approaching. And the Holy Spirit grows close to the bride. God, the headstone is coming down. And the bride, amen, it becoming his own image as she nears the headstone in order to be united with him. Amen. And if we are in that hour, then the people you look around and see that believers would be living epistles. The people that you look around and see believers would be responsible, mature, writing people full of the love of God. Amen. Walking in humility. Amen. Hallelujah. You see the certainty, the reverence, and the seriousness upon them. That's why people don't run out and say, I believe this, I believe this, I believe that, and the other, and try to make some repetition of that. That's nonsense. Amen. You see the folly right away. Amen. When you see believers, you see people who know what is happening. You see people being moved by the power of Almighty God. You see people conscious of the divine revelation. Amen. That it is he and them fulfilling his own word that he left for his time. You see, people above the Father's business. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, what a hour that is. Now I say a lot of people get carried away in all kinds of different things. Amen. One person starts something, oh, what about to make a carried away inside it? But when you really focus into the word and see the hour and see the promise and see what God has worked and see what the achievement was to be, you see all these things, it just detours and smoke screens and things that confuse and undermine and railroad people from the reality of Almighty God's promise for this hour. People talk about the Holy Ghost and they come like, they're talking about sports today. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is no longer God inside the people. The Holy Ghost has come some sensation over the 4 hours ago. Nonsense. Yeah. But the Holy Ghost is tabernacle deity. Yeah. It's God in flesh walking on the earth. Amen! And God come down there to finish the work of redemption! Hallelujah! Amen! There are all kind of people with some little funny experience get by and they say, you've been saved, brother, you've been saved. Oh, you're filled with the Holy Ghost and all these things going on. And then come a bandwagon to jump into and jump out and just get along with a bunch or something. Amen. But the hour that we in is people who know they stand upon the earth and the power of God in their lives will bring up their sleeping saints. It's people who are prisoner. No, I am about my Father's business. They see that great mystery, amen. My meat is to do the will of him and to finish the work. If you change of the world, a prisoner to Jesus Christ. You know, people get in a corner and they watch them try to criticize and laugh at this and who not with them, nothing it, and all this kind of foolishness. Amen. Amen. You see, lives that have been shaped and molded in the backside of the desert, where righteous men have been molding the saints. Hallelujah! You see, people who got moved by whirlwind and lightning and thunder and all kind of noises, but who wrap themselves in the mantle of the air, still small voice, and they walk out. Hallelujah! You see, people have been set aside, separated from unbelief, walking holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. You see, people are just glowing with the power of God. Not no shiny business. Amen. You see, people that are not easily provoked, doesn't puff up themselves, doesn't behave unseemly. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, rocket stalwarts. Amen. That the devil could bring all kind of position and they stand there as rugged and solid as ever. Hallelujah! They already quit like men. Hallelujah! Stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Almighty God. Amen. That is the bride. That is the real church in the last days. Amen. All these years, that seed growing up inside of you. And as she nears the headstone. Amen. You come to a place you could hardly tell the difference. Because she's becoming him. Hallelujah. And when you look at her, all you see is him. Because he's having full expression, full preeminences. Amen. The two are becoming one. And when she stands here, she stands with confidence. Amen. She knows, amen, she has the wedding band. She knows she has been quick. She knows the old husband is dead. It's putting herself forgetfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She knows that she stands here. Amen. In that atmosphere. Amen. She has been chosen. She has been called. She has been trained. She knows it. Amen. Today the Holy Spirit comes, some will experience, some girl get moved, somebody get enchanted, somebody go to service and get confused, somebody take some coat out of somewhere mislocated and try to use that to influence people against all the prophets have taught through the scriptures. Amen. And that's the lifeline. And that's what the devil is stamping it right now. And that's why it takes people to stand there with the word. Amen. And keep that message clear. That message, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. God and his bride finishing the work. And when she have that, the teaching will be clear as ever. Because the anointed ones in the last days will have the true teaching. And that is the seal right there. Because the others will have everything else. They'll have fruits, they'll outfruit you. Amen. So it won't be fruits. The Pharisees said they display more than Jesus. Amen. Double sensations. Amen. They'll make it look like a campground star. Amen. But they say they can't stay with all the word. And they can't walk straight all the way. They always fail in that perfect walk. They can't bring the word word by word by word by word by word by word. Hallelujah. And the word will be the difference. Rather, signs and wonders, they'll do the same thing. Amen. As a manifestation, they'll have all the manifestations. Because how else could it be a deceiving age if there wasn't something to impersonate the Holy Ghost? Why did the Pentecostals thought they were Christians and they were not Christians in the Laodicean age when they knew it not? Because they couldn't tell the difference between manifestation and evidence. They couldn't divide it. And when a prophet come and say, you can have all nine gifts, all nine manifests, and be demon possessed, they couldn't take it. He said, the same with God's on the Holy Ghost, you're not saved, not by a long ways. Amen! The real gift, he says, is that soul. Hallelujah! That always was that name in the Lamb's Book of Life that could never be taken off. Hallelujah! God, attribute express. Amen! And when that Holy Spirit quickened that seed, watch them grow up in the image. Watch them bring the word, word by word. Watch them reveal the path of the word for the age that they're living in. Watch them have the testimony of Jesus. Not some false testimony. The testimony of Jesus, who is the word in every age. Amen. Then you'll see a church the devil can't deceive. Because this one is a proof she's not like Eve. And Eve was confused in one promise. She really didn't disbelieve. She just was confused on it. Because Satan gave her his own interpretation on it. And Eve wanted a sensation. And if she had a child, they were supposed to come, they wouldn't have that sensation. But she wanted a sensation. And the serpent was going to give it to her. And she thought she had something so special. She ran to Adam with it. Amen. And when those Pentecostals run to the prophet with it, brother, he blasted right back to her. Hallelujah for which it came. Amen. Hallelujah. See? Because when you get alive, when that new husband is alive, that old husband better be dead. You can't be into covenant at one time. You'll be making God an adulterer. Amen. And that's why I found a lot of these new unions that people claiming. Amen. You see the old husband still alive and yet they claiming the covenant of Christ. How could have two living husbands? Impossible! Amen. Hallelujah, that's a forgery. Something forged here. But from the time that bride is called and separated, you and the Holy Spirit shaping her, he is not going to finish that work. Be confident that God who begin that work will perform it even until that day. Because he's the author and the finisher. Amen. And when how are you going to know the finisher is about finish? How are you going to know it? Watch when that revelation begins to come forth to show the bride out. And that revelation is going to put the bride aside. That revelation will put the bride aside and show she is not standing on the ground where the others are standing. No, sir. She's not being moved by this and that. No. When that revelation is going to put the bride aside and show her she knows. She have the wedding band, she have the magic, and she have the name. You're dealing with seven thunders. She have all standing there. Yeah. Amen. And when she stand there, brother, she will have a time of testing. Amen. To the final point to prove she's not like Eve. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And all the other things God going to have it right here. And while all the other cousins get in the atmosphere and they begin to parade and do all the different things. But she's going to stay right there. Amen. As calm as ever. Hallelujah. Because she know the promise is revealed. Amen. You're not doing nothing to attract him outside obedience to the word. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not doing nothing to attract him outside standing the test and proving you're a real born again believer. Call out separated. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to prove to him you're not no little float at the side. You're not no wishy-washy something. Amen. And then he's going to say, this is her. I'll be quick and short Amen. What's going to happen after that? Amen. It wouldn't be in the sense of in the public, like to set up a stadium and have a week of meetings and invite the whole upon us, Spain or Trinidad. It wouldn't be like that. Because it says there's nothing promised. That church, after the last sign they saw almost was he turned his back and then see us change. He said nothing promised after Revelation 3, church good in Revelation 4. And yet he also said the bride will always have the power and the act, mighty acts. Amen. Once the word is restored, there will be a restoration power. Amen. Don't contradict itself. No, sir. Amen. God will be using individuals. One here, like Philip was one here. Stephen was one here. Paul was one over here. But just acts anyhow. Amen. Shine that. Because I'm going to prove to you this morning by this word here that God is only dealing with certain people right now. Individual, because God knows you have a time for the others, so he doesn't get himself confused and mix up and try to deal with them here, when he put them over there to deal with them on the other side. He knew the ones he put here for this time, and he's revealing them names, and he's calling them out, and he's dealing with them, and giving them a revelation. They have to give a testimony, they have to stand and everything, and the rest he will deal with them another time. Hallelujah! That is the word of God. Amen. But there are two sections in the book. Amen. Hallelujah. And the names in this section that is open, almost all them names have already been manifested in the earth. And from the body of Christ down through the ages. And the last little portion is here on the earth. Not in the book, they're manifesting on the outside. Hallelujah. Amen. They're identifying the place in the scripture now. Amen. They stand here. Amen. And showing that he is the finisher. He who was the author is now the finisher. And he's going to confirm the confidence that they had. Now when he started and he made the promise to the prophet back there, and he said, I'm going to build a mountain in this fourth foundation. And he decided to do it, and the message went out in its initial stage there in amateur form. I was prayed by books and tapes and ministry of others, and Judas even had a part in that ministry until Pentecost. Yes. And the part he had was no less than the others. Yes. Hallelujah! Yes. Amen! But now in the finishing part, we're not in the part where he's beginning, no, he's finishing. Hallelujah! With the winding up. Amen! The finished cycle. The final quickening unto the rapture. Amen. The age of restoration is here. Amen. Hallelujah. The enforcer himself has come to enforce a rightful condition of restoration. He himself is doing it. Amen. Michael himself is saying, give them up. Hallelujah. Deliver them names as found written in the book. But I put that sword straight to Lucifer's heart. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, take your hands off of them, Lucifer. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. It's rough, and may the Holy Spirit lift your soul up into a place that you could actually see also the unseen, the spiritual realm, the things that is happening. Amen. Because it's a very tremendous time. It's so tremendous, and the believer shot in that place. Amen. I'll meet you in the air. Amen. A place was revealed where God is going to meet the believers for the third Paul. Was that correct? Amen. It was a little wooden-like, box-like place. In symbol form, it was like that. But when it came from the scriptures, he said, God is only meeting man in one place. Oh, he said, it can never change. Amen. And that place was the place where he placed his name. Under the shed blood. Amen. And then when the seals were open, you find out everybody wasn't under the blood. That's why they have to go to the tribulation for purification. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So then we find out then that those names that the blood was shed for, he had to quicken them in every age. Amen. And bring them under that revealed word for fellowship. Amen. For communion. Amen. Hallelujah. And they are having communion in the evening time. Amen. Under the blood. God and his bride. Amen. Hallelujah. Talking, and something is going on. And he's putting the great secret that was in his mind into a heart. Amen. This great mystery coming down into our heart. Hallelujah. And when we see these things taking place, we know then that something is fixing to happen. We know that time is at hand. Hallelujah. And you as a believer, it becomes clearer to you. And when it becomes clear to you, you just surrender. Amen. There's nothing else you can do but surrender. There's nothing else you can do but praise Him. He doesn't take a whip and beat you together to surrender. No, sir. No way. No, sir. His love being revealed to make you surrender. Amen. Well, yeah, I think I will beat them. That's somebody else. Hallelujah. But all he do is he shows them the name in this book here. He shows them the price he paid for them. Amen. He showed them his election. Amen. He showed them how he considered them. Amen. He reveals his grace to them. That it's not by works that any man should boast. But by grace are you saved through faith. And you couldn't even have faith for your own self. Is he give you the very faith to believe the grace he did for you? And he had a bleach that could blot out all your sin, break it up, bring back that spirit to your very original spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That it should have been, had you not been a fall. Amen. And then let you know by the revelation of what he have done through you, what can it bring you in with him, that the dirty devil could shoot thoughts in your mind day and night, yet stand with confidence, knowing what God has done for you. Hallelujah. And God designed his very own word, an unconditional covenant. When you was nowhere around, God planned the covenant that way. You didn't say, it's not a group of people get together, sign them on a paper, make a petition, get some eloquent person to approach God on behalf of them, and saying, Father, we think that, this life will be very hard on earth here, and we trust that you can devise some better way to help us, and he sympathized with them. No. God loved push him to do it. Amen. Nobody was not wrong. Nobody knew what he was thinking. Nobody could discern God's thoughts, but in his own thoughts, he wanted to devise a way that his people could have faith in the midst of the severest opposition and the most among the torment the devil could bring, yet there could be a way still if they know it, they could stand with confidence. That is what God is thinking about when you are thinking about redemption. Amen. When God thinks about the power of the devil that he had there and what he could do and the way he could really use somebody, the human nature and these things against them, how to trap the idiot and come in the world, and not being able to please God without nature by my unbelief. He knew how the devil could work on those things and bring condemnation. So God, it'll be impossible for the believer to have faith. Yes. Yes. Amen. If there's not a channel whereby they could stand in a place with God, amen, and that could be under the feet. So God, in giving the covenant, He gave one for them to keep on their own strength. He gave them that one first. He didn't give it his own, but he gave them that one first. If you lose, I lose. If you lose, I lose. And they couldn't keep it. Then God come by election, go down to a filthy city, pull Abraham out, and give him the real one. Amen. Then, so that their minds would not be confused, God let the people go away from it and choose back the one that they could try to keep on their own righteousness. Amen. Amen. And when they went doing that, they were happy going along with it, and they organized themselves and they organized their life in that channel. Yet God was showing not even that have dissolved my original purpose. Amen. That God sent the promise seed still. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And showing that its original purpose was higher than that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So then the believer is standing and seeing. But it's God who did that. And God did that for what purpose? So the devil will not be able to come and hold me in bondage here. Amen. And God put an atonement standing there that could break up every molecular sin so that I don't have to stay here bound in this condemnation. Amen. Amen. But the devil is so soft he can still hold people there. Yeah. Yeah. By pride. Yeah. that they won't accept quickly God's provision. Those that are blocked can break it up, that God can find it. Those are unconditional covenant that God make to begin with, not what you do, but what I have already done for you. Yep, the devil can hold a person in bondage there. And let them see that, you know, to really step out and really loose themselves, he holds them and pressurizes them. Yeah. Amen. With some contrary spirit, yeah. A pride or something, yeah. That this one going to see me, that one going to see me, this one going to think so, that one going to think so, they're going to find out now, my image I worked so hard to achieve going to be destroyed so quickly. And already have everybody believing I'm such a nice person. Yeah. Amen. I've already given such a good impression of myself. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God that he can't keep a son of God in that or a daughter of God in that. Not the real ones. Not the real ones. Amen. No. All God has to do is flash the promise to them. Amen. All God has to do is remind them the hour. All God has to do is remind them of what he did for them to begin with. Hallelujah. Amen. They push that aside. They bust them chains. Hallelujah. And they rise to the height that they ordained to come to. Amen. My. Glory. So, just let me recap some things quickly here and try to hit something here this morning in the next half an hour and close by the grace of God. Amen. You know, some people take that for a little humor, but we're serious this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I trust, as I say, you've been understanding what has been happening. God, and many, you see, the way God is speak, you have to know. When God was speaking in the Bible, God was saying, I am here, I have descended from heaven, and the denomination is around in a new age. But God wasn't saying that so. Something was being done, and the people have to recognize that when that is taking place, it's 12 o'clock. It's midnight. You see, God said, at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, the Lord's voice. That is midnight. Amen. At the evening time, token and all these things, they apply the blood at the evening time. And you see, God puts something for certain times. So when you see that going on, you know the time that is supposed to happen in. That when the prophets or the angels, he just says, is this the sign of the end? Says, is this the time when those seven mysteries are going to come forth? Now, he wasn't going to claim that message if he didn't know he was in the Laodicea age. And the Laodicea messenger was to finish up the whole mystery of God because there was no more ages. But because he knew that, when he saw the sign, he knew what is to come forth at that time. And the believer that God has called, in calling you and bringing you in this hour, knowing that he's calling for a purpose, that his word for this age is to be interpreted in your life, God didn't say, well, a savior. He began to teach you certain things. Of the time you're living in. Of the age you're living in. Of what is promised to you. Of what is happening. Amen. So then you won't be caught up in religious influences contrary to the word. But you'll be set in your course. Amen. Relating to God. You'll know to pray. You'll know what to pray for. You'll know to conduct yourself. You'll know what the enemy will be trying to keep you away from at that time. You'll be knowing the kind of test you're in the past. You'll be understanding the experience. Look at the prophet there when he came to that time and he had a test there. He came and preached possessing the enemy gate. Amen. Mount Moriah. Abraham's final test and he spoke what manifested. Amen. He said, I had such a test today there. Amen. Why? He knew where he was at. When he saw the sign in the sky, he can't preach. Is this the sign of the answers? See? Continually something was happening. And when it happened, outside the end of the world, when he saw the people in Jesse Penny's store, he went to the scripture and preached, souls in prison now. whether it is in the world, in the moral condition among the people, whether it's something in the sky, a sign of the time, Christ coming to close in the last days, whether it is is something in his life, bringing forth a manifestation for the hour, to show the stage of maturity that the church have reached, whatever it was revealing exactly where we were positionally. And that's the way we try to bring the word. And that's the way we will always bring it if his life is inside of us. When something happened in your life, it will show time in the room to show the maturity in the world. Whether it's going to happen outside in the world, to show exactly. Because you can take any one of them and bring it back to show the hour we're living in.
Amen.
Amen. See whether something happens in the sky, with solar marks, whatever it is, it will show the very hour where everything is placed at.
Amen.
And that's where the true believer is an observant person, is a close observer. The prophet said the reason the Pentecostals were deceived, there wasn't close observers.
Amen.
And the reason a lot of people are being deceived, they are not close observers.
Amen.
But you have to observe close, you have to look 9 times and make 1 step.
Amen.
You don't hunt fast, no! You look 9 times and you make 1 step.
Amen.
And when you watch all this kind of thing there, you know something's wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Because here we are on the verge of a ministry that is a break forth upon us. And because I have been revealed to you, have it been revealed to you?
Amen.
The believer has to know that it's revealed to them, you know. It's not a talk that's preached and you enjoy it, you know. It's God revealing in your heart and tell you that always here upon you now. You think because it's written Daniel praying, Daniel 9 when he read Jeremiah writing, he didn't pray after that? That one day he saw a revelation and then pray, and then after he stopped praying after that? No. From the time you break into it and it's been revealed in your heart and the hour it's been identified clearly, that you look there and you understand the scriptures, you discern the signs of the time. You see the natural signs in the natural realm that everybody can see. And then also you see the things in the spiritual realm. The great happenings in the spiritual realm also. Your positive sign. Amen. When you see a positive sign, that might take a little distance from where you are until you run to that Kaibo, until you come dragging it back. Yet that run from where you are to there after you see it, you know, no man can get it out. It's for you. God promised that to you. While you're running, that obsession is in your heart continually. You might meet some log or something. You might jump over it. You might meet some little stream. You might head across it. You might meet some patch of weeds or something. You might stomp your way through it. Hallelujah! But you're already left with an objective, and you're under the inspiration of something being revealed here now. You look to your binoculars and your eyes will focus upon it. At that time, it wasn't enjoying the scenery. At that time, it wasn't enjoying the horizon. When you looked at the binoculars, at that time, your eyes was on the promise. You saw it coming to pass. And you know, like when I preach back at Genesis 22, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. And he saw that mountain that day. He was going for days, didn't even know what he was looking for. And yes, we're coming through in a time of revealing, trying to God fitting the word together so you could focus in the binoculars, so you could see clearly what the promises and the channel you must come through it. But then finally one day he lets you know you're in the place, the binoculars have been focused. Look through the focus binoculars now. Hallelujah! And from the time I've been focused to you, you're looking through it, there's nothing there pleasant to your eyes other than the promise, because you're not seeing nothing else. That's the moment your blinds came on. Hallelujah! And all you can see is forward! Some people might still be in the states to get the blinds, but you can point the blinds this morning. The Holy Spirit is passing by to the congregation with the blinds. If you don't have no blinds, pop your hand. He will come across by you and put the blinds on you. Hallelujah. Amen. And from the time your mind was focused, your heart was centered, he became the principal theme of your life. Then that became your meat. Then you begin to get the obsession. Have that been your experience? Because let me tell you something. You'll be one of the most wickedest liars that have to say that you have seen it and you focus. And God focus you out and focus your mind and you see it. And you never became obsessed. You'll be under one of the strongest delusion the devil can put you under. Because that is not mental we're talking about, that is spiritual. Once you focus by experience and you see that everything else, like Moses, it becomes dead. And you will endure because you saw him who is invisible. You act as your mighty God let down, call you out of the burning flame. You begin to have a full foundational stand. The word becomes a reality right there, and you never run back in the wilderness no more. Hallelujah! You become anointed. Amen. You live on the expectation, because it's pushing inside of you. It's moving you. You know, wake up in the night and tell to pray. Hallelujah. Make it one, visit somebody, make it testify, give your conviction to shake the wall off. That's what it does to you. Amen. If you haven't done that to you, you then check your focus. Maybe you had a dream. Maybe you're daydreaming. When the heart is focused and that life is centered into the Word, that Christ-centered life, your life gets dead on the cross here. The promise is all you see. Because why? You see, you don't start and then study and go through a fight like and the promise, you know, and I know and no. You might have philosophies like Abraham, but you didn't start into unbelief. No way! You might have the blues and get a little tension. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. But brother, when that is revealed, it's something else. Amen. You want that person to get different. You could tell the different. You could tell the walk become different. You and I know camp won't start at that ain't nobody that buy cheap. That ain't nobody that push them wrong. No, sir. That is somebody that's setting the course. They know what they're about, brother. That is somebody that ain't running here, and topsy-turvy and get cats pounded. No. That is somebody who have been the presence of Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, if you notice, let's just take a bit here. Now, Thursday, we begin to start on that one in Revelation 10. But before I hit it in Revelation 10, I went to Daniel because I told you Daniel is the book of Revelation, the Old Testament. And Revelation is the revelation in the New Testament. Both is apocalypse. Amen. Apocalypse and veiling. Both is prophetic books. Amen. Dealing especially with the last days. And we find out that Daniel 10 and Revelation 10 had a great power there because the prophet said Daniel heard the seven thunders. Is that correct? Amen. And Tuesday night we went into Daniel hearing those seven thunders and then we compared it there. Also Daniel 12 and Revelation 12, but Daniel 12 is where Michael will come. Revelation 12 is where Michael also. Amen. And we find that both Daniel and John heard the seven thunders, and Daniel we find was dealing mostly with the political dispensation. Amen. That Israel had to go through. Amen. Trodden down until the time comes when they are going to see the Davidic promise be manifested. And we know the promise that God spoke to David in 2 Samuel 7. I preached a message sometime back in the Davidic covenant. And just inject this here. What I've been noticing, I've been giving me such a great faith, is that as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal these things here, it just brings you back to things that you preached here to see if it's God by inspiration. You see, the thing about after Barham preached the church ages, let me show you what I mean. After he preached the seven church ages, when there were the seven seals, it only confirmed the church age was correct. Amen. And as we pick up these seven trumpets here, they just show you how perfect those seven seals was.
Amen.
Because out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets. And God being so gracious to come and give us that here. And I told you there are five things inside there, which could be more, I said. But the first four trumpets, as a matter of fact, you take them, it's just dealing with the creation part. And we find that it was placed in the Bible, just like how when Israel is being called out, because you must know what the trumpets is to understand what you're talking about. And we find out then that we understood that the trumpets was between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of the Atonement. And we find the Feast of Pentecost with church ages. And that was 7 months there. And then afterwards, we find the trumpets was a period of time there between the breaking forth of the Pentecostal revival and Israel recognizing the atonement. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is a space of time there. And then right in there is where we are living this whole age of come down. The messenger have come. And the great deception, the great uniting of church and state. And the great deceiving age when everything will be deceived. Who's not in the book. And all these things. And the resurrection. All these things is happening right in this space of time here. And the whole book of Revelation is really written for this generation. From Revelation 3, 14, beginning of the seventh church age, right on Revelation 20, beginning of the millennium, which is the next couple of years, we'll usher in after we go up in the resurrection and come back down. Then we start there, and we find they're already moving towards Armageddon right now.
Amen.
Amen. They're all the kings of the earth already being deceived and all these things, and coming together, and church and state coming together, and we see that's going to happen, and all this armor, talk about nuclear war and all this cold war and nuclear war and all the different things that are going on right now. We know it's heading to it. It's a prophecy being fulfilled. Same as you see the bride being gathered, the nation's being gathered.
Amen.
The church is being gathered. The union's being gathered. Everything is gathered in a uniting time.
Amen.
And that is even a very sign of the time.
Amen.
As the prophet only preached that message, uniting time and time, he showed all the uniting time. Way back in 1963, and look how much tight they are bound to be. The Spirit has been released there to bring the unity. Today they are united. The Spirit is released to bring a unity in the bride also, to pull them out, call them out to the world, get them ready. And today, look where we're standing and revealing these things by the grace of God. So regardless of what we have in our minds, God moved on with his program just on time.
Amen.
And that's why many people get confused. They think sometimes, they pull the plug, they think God pulled his plug too.
Amen.
But from the time they pull the plug, they get cold and God is still going on and fulfilling one of your promises. Ah!
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what's something? So where we at here, we see it come to such a place and the Holy Spirit pick up those trumpets and show us the time it is happening in. And then we find there was the first thing, there was three woes. Woe, woe, woe. And then there was the great river Euphrates, and out of that Euphrates river came 200 million locusts. And then we find also between the trumpets, this is a mysterious part now, was the coming of the Lord. And many people in the message, they preach those things, believe those things, accept those things. But they fail to realize where it is placed. And they fail to realize it is placed there for a purpose.
Amen.
And that is why when they think they had the revelation of what it's talking about, it had gone so much further.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And they only accepted it on a level here. Yeah, God come on, the book open.
Yeah.
But the book was open because the mission was being revealed in the church ages.
Yeah.
But where those things are placed in the prophecy. And what it was for is what we're looking into.
Amen.
Because we're going to pick up this book. When I pick up this book here in Daniel, where he says, seal that book, seal the words and seal the book until the end. and the words were closed and sealed till the time of the end. And Daniel asked that man who stood there by the river in the clothed linen, raise his hand, swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Yeah. Alright? Daniel asked him, he said, it shut the book until the end. It's the same thing with John, from Daniel 10 to chapter 10 to chapter 12, is one vision is going on there. It's Daniel's final vision. Amen. It was at the end of his ministry. Amen. And Daniel will see this great last vision, stretching these three chapters, 10, 11, and 12. And at the end of the vision there, during the vision, he had seen this one come down, standing by the river there, 1 foot on land, 1 foot on the sea there. And he had his hand lifted up, and he was speaking, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass, right in Daniel 10, the whole description is there. And we find that that's the very same one in Revelation 10. And this book, we're going to find that this book here, notice also in Daniel 7, we pick up there, where the books were also open. Amen. But I'm speaking at the right throne judgment. But this book here, sealed until the time of the end. No, we don't want to confuse these two things at all. We don't want to confuse Daniel 12 with the book will be sealed until the end, and that book opened in Revelation chapter, in Daniel chapter 7. It's two different times altogether. In Daniel, it's still a mystery, because the revelation is not given yet. Amen? Amen. The full mystery of the resurrection and everything is not made known yet. But when Jesus came in St. John chapter 5, he's going to speak more about the resurrection. And he speaks about three resurrections right there. He said, the hour is coming, at the last trump, and now is, in St. Matthew 27. Amen. Amen. When death and the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. And then he says, and after that, there will be another resurrection when all that are in the graves will come. Some to condemnation, some to eternal everlasting life. Is that correct? And then when Jesus didn't come back, it's in Matthew 25, speaking about the resurrection in the last days, how the second resurrection rather, how the goats and the sheep will be separated, like goats and sheep, he said. He didn't say goats and sheep, but as a shepherd separated goats from his sheep, so God will be doing it at that time. And all that Jesus now was given further insight, because he said he was the resurrection of life. And in St. John 6, he was speaking about any man eat the bread from heaven, he will not die, but I will raise him in the last day. And he spoke so much in his own ministry about the resurrection. When John was given the revelation now, here it is, something was coming into view in chapter 5 and chapter 10. Book were being opened, and it was not yet the second resurrection. But all that have been shown in scripture until that time, all that the church knew is that book will be opened at the second resurrection. But before that time comes, before even the first resurrection come, here is a book being opened. Here is one with a white wig coming down, just like the ancient of days. Amen. And all here is dead being raised. Here is people being changed. And it's not in the first resurrection yet. And that is going on in the world. Then there was something was going to happen. There was something going to be taking place, and the Holy Spirit, by His Word, was going to reveal to the bride how He's going to come like a thief in the night, how He's going to catch over the living ones, how He's going to open up the graves. And Brother Bram says, it don't mean open like you think open. He said, because where was Adam's body before, while Adam was just a spirit man? Not in the elements of the earth? God didn't form it yet? But all the calcium, the potassium, the petroleum, the cosmic light, everything was right there. And long ago, because of all these funny drawings these 70s people had and all these kind of different things, we used to think that God maybe sort of like helping the little children take mud and make a little mud cake and a little mud man. We think that God take out a cell of mud and shape out a man and then and blow inside his nose. But then we get to find out what it was. Hey, God spoke, and the elements came together, and a man stood there. Hallelujah! Formed there. Just like God created all the animals by spoken word. Let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And the elements came together and they stood there. Just like God in Genesis 18 spoke and a body was formed and he stepped into that well and eat with Abraham. Hallelujah. Then spoke it back out of existence and went away. And those things was a mystery in the word. He says in the resurrection, don't study these pits that have big holes in the ground and have some mud piled up on the side and nice old ladies coming out. That is not so at all. Because those people are already in another dimension. They're just coming back over and God is going to create for Adam. He will just speak and the elements will come together because he said God have a great library and he have a picture in that library of every one of them, what they were like in perfection. So the same image, only in perfection, will come back. Hallelujah! Because the same God who had them all in his mind, even before they had bodies, when they were just souls, thoughts in his mind. Amen. And he knew what image the body was going to be in. Even while the body was just a seed and an egg. And he knew what it was going to look like when they come. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And yet through that process, he could unite that seed and that egg. Amen. And it grew up and then it came into the image of what it was like. God didn't even have to go through that channel. He could just speak it and put that image right there. Because he had the picture in his library, what it was looking like. In his good album, his family album. Hallelujah! He had the whole family standing there. Hallelujah. Amen. And then one of these days, when we hit that time, you watch and see. Now I want to show the resurrection, and I think going to take place like pops like that, you know. It already started. Amen. This is where people get confused. The resurrection has, because the resurrection seal has opened. And the resurrection has already started. Because the great mystery in this age is that some people will not see death. Because to bring the resurrection, there will be a living people who never die will be changed. For this age. So then those people, for them to be changed. Amen. In the body while they're here, they already receiving the first change. They receive that first change in the soul because only the change in the soul can be changed in the body. And that, and God already have the food, the vitamin C A stored up for them to grow back the word image into. It's already right here. Because God knew that this would be the age that seed must come forth in the full image. And he put the very things they would need in this age to bring the full image. He didn't provide so much in all the past ages, but he did in this age, because this is the age the change is going to come. And they are growing up into a full resurrection right now. And the book has already been opened. The dead is already been raised. That the ones who are dead in Central is already been raised. And they are being changed, and the resurrection is escalating. From the time the judge came, the judge came, and they opened the book, the resurrection started. You know? Because the seven seals didn't reveal your names alone. It revealed the names of the bride in every age. All the bride was revealed. The whole body, complete body, was revealed in that book. Amen. We'll strike it. Now watch. Let's throw out some things here. Now, what's happening here? You see, because from the time God knew that something is going on, it's a secret. The book was being opened. And then all these names in the book, some was dead in Christ and some was dead in sins. In the book. And he couldn't bring up the one who was dead in Christ yet because if the one who dead in sins had to raise up in the perfection before they could come. Because he's been building his bride in his image closer and closer to his image all along through seven ages. And this bride, the one who was dead in sin, had to take the last place to show the completeness of his redemption. You understand me? Because this bride comes to perfection first, then the bride will stop short.
Amen.
So what? There will be no identification that she'll restore back. There will be no identification she has been redeemed. There have to be a people come with bone with bone, flesh with flesh. Faith with faith to match every power, prophecy, type of the real bride in the Bible. And all those types of the bride, when they were shown in the world, were shown to come forth after the Son of Man is revealed.
Amen.
And the Son of Man has been revealed after the church ages is run out.
Amen.
So then you see, he had to come to those people first.
Amen.
And that is why you're not going to people who try, they want to frighten people and you're going to put fear. Never going to only let somebody have a revelation.
Right.
People want to take the word and tell them, you can't go into rapture and this kind of that nonsense. You will have the evidence now that your body will be changed.
Yeah.
And that change is irreversible inside of you.
Yeah.
You don't have something and don't have it tomorrow. If you have something and you don't have it tomorrow, then you never had it again at all.
Yeah.
You're confused or deceived.
Yeah.
Amen. Because when you have that change there, that won't stop growing at all. You see a condition will come? Whatever condition comes, it make it grow more.
Yeah.
Is your thing getting harder every day? Yes, because it needs the sun to be hotter to ripen it now because it's getting more mature.
Yeah.
It needs that.
Yeah.
You see? And those people, this is the whole thing. The whole confusion of the matter is because some people think it's a guessing thing and don't realize that thing as certain as I knew in this building this morning. That those people, they're walking with God and they know they shall be not. Amen! They know they're growing up and they know their body's going to change along that road in which form inside of them. Other people look at them and see that their body have already turned heavenly. They say, there's a Christian, there's a Christian, there's a Christian. Why? They're like Jesus. The body of obedience to the word. Amen. There might be people who sing like them or sing like, but you want to obey like them. The Lord is not going to obey the word like them. Amen. Hallelujah. I am jealous people can obey the word, you know. That's the kind of jealousy I would have in my heart. I want to have covered that kind of thing. Amen. I don't have jealousy, but God bless me, so bless me, and have them to have that. If you're going to bear the word, I want to covet that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Their priority is right. Amen. So then God had to come to those people first. And the whole 19 years have been an experience with those people.
Amen.
Who have been growing up in the image of the word, and God could not touch the rest. This is where people can see. Balaam says, if you don't become the word, you're worse than a thought. Because the word is a thought expressed. And if you're worse than a thought, you didn't become the word, then you was not considered in the plan of redemption. And the book that has been opened and the word God is dealing with now is based on redemption. Because the people God is talking to is the people he's talking to who have become the word, who are becoming the word. That is what we're talking to, and the things that when it becomes the word it will do, those are the things he's talking with them.
Yeah.
And he cannot touch the rest.
Yeah.
Because he knows with all that nature, they cannot live the word.
Yeah.
He knows with all the Holy Ghost, they cannot understand it.
Yeah.
They can only get it mental. They have no insight to teach them. God, you think God don't know that?
Amen.
That's why you have people who sit down there.
Yeah.
Be nice people.
True.
Be faithful people. And they're doing right. And don't ever get discouraged. And stop doing what you're doing. If you do it nicely, obediently, faithfully, sincerely. And they're just going to go up to that point because they're not ordained to be in the bride.
Amen.
The wise virgin went in and the door was shut and the foolish virgin was left out.
Amen.
But both were virgins.
Amen.
Both had the lamps.
Amen.
Both came up under one voice.
Amen.
Some people will just not be able to have let the word have preeminence in their life. They might see it, they might agree with it, they might desire it, they might want it, they might try to do it through a human channel with their own human effort, but they will never ever get the air.
Amen.
Because you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Amen.
And there'll be just some people that will strike them, and when they will strike them, they have something that will push them through every obstacle, everything they will put there. Will push them all the way to the place like a lily until they come to the top.
Amen.
They just can't help it.
Amen.
They just ordained to be that way.
Amen.
And the ones that God has been dealing and catching and working on have been that bunch.
Amen.
Amen. And when that time comes, then the sleeping part of the book, the living part of the book, and the sleeping part of the book.
Amen.
Then the sleeping part of the book going to unite with the living part.
Amen.
And when you see the bride identifying herself in the world and coming up place, you know the sleeping part of the book is not too far away from the living part now. When you see the last day bride begin to step into her place to show she's the continuation, and you watch the word that was allotted for every age unfold right down, every age live out the path and took the place in the body, live out the path and place in the body, and the last bride is living out her path and taking her part in the body, you know the next part is not too far away. And if that word was a mystery, they have to be revealed. And it had to be revealed and could not be revealed all at one time because the bride is a growing body.
Right.
It could only be revealed as she grow and mature.
Right.
You could have all three pulls start off, yeah? Start with the first pull. If you're more sincere, the second one starts to operate. Then you keep being tested and tried and proved worthy, the third one will come also.
Yeah.
You don't have all at one time, no. Look at the time of justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. No. He said justification. Where did he come in sanctification? Pentecost, the spiritual gifts. And the last day, the full word came back. It's a grown thing. And the word for this age, when you see a start up there, the same Holy Spirit come and reveal baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, start to reveal the principle things, start to reveal all the details, start to identify the word is formed. You want that same Holy Spirit grow all the way until it comes to that place where the fullness of the word has been revealed, then you know that word has grown word by word by word by word. And when it's revealed right there and there is no more part, we see the blending in of time now where the bride has to pick up the sleeping saints because the Jewish age is getting ready to open back out. All those things for the Jews is already opening up and going over there now. It shows how close it is. But how could this be going on all along and people didn't know it? Because of the wrong conception. Why did they miss Jesus? The wrong conception. Why did they miss the prophet? It was good people, but the wrong conception. Is that all is blind people? Wrong teaching. Sidetrack them and look for the wrong things. They didn't know what that the wrong conception was trying to find. And why the bride is always able to recognize it. She could recognize the word coming to pass right before her. She could always know the word by what is happening. And the others could only know the word by what happened. Amen? So here it is here. We don't want to confuse these two books at all because Revelation 10 there, a book is being opened. And we want to take this Daniel 12 and dive with the Daniel 10 to 12 there and put it together at Revelation 10 and find out that that book that is opened there is opening before the first resurrection. And when that book is opened before the first resurrection, watch and see that something will be happening on the earth and few people will know it. It will be a total secret. And this is the things that have been so amazing to me, looking back in the world here and seeing how all down through this time, the Holy Spirit, through the prophet, have been revealing these things here, and God himself coming back and make it plain right amongst us. But then in these last times, when that word opened up right there, God showed, look, all these five things here that could not be revealed clearly back there. It could not be preached. Here it is being made known to the people just at the time as the bride age is finished. Because at the end of every age, like Jesus came at the end of his time, and he revealed all what he had lived out for 33 years. From the woman receiving the seed to the seed bringing the superhuman cross. He came back after the resurrection and showed he was the whole word. He lived out that whole mystery right in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and showed he was the principal thing of the whole thing. Down through the seven ages, after the Lord's seven church ages, in the seventh age, then God comes to the prophet, revealed all that went on for 7 ages. Because after it is done, he comes down and reveals what he did. Then after the bride age from 1965 to 1984, after the age is about to run out, God comes back along and reveals what went on as a mystery for 19 years in the unseen realm. Amen. The prophecy part of the word. Amen. What went on there showing at the end of the age, he's revealing what is happening now. And when we see what is happening now, it's just, he says, you wake up and see the revelations of what it has been. Because while that word was coming along and being revealed, not knowing what the next part was going to be, then God came and showed the whole thing was now. And you see that you was right. You see that your inspiration was correct. You see it was God bringing word by word, truth by truth. You see that you're not a backtrack, not a one teaching there. It was the mind, the Holy Spirit bringing the word all the way along. Because as a minister, I know I have to stand before Jesus Christ for what I preach. I was told to take heed what I build upon what Malachi 4 lay. Let every man take heed. The day is coming, every man work will be tried by fire. The man of himself might be saved after you have to pack up and sit down in his ministry, cast aside because he built with wood and stubble and hay. Amen. But then the day is going to come when every man will be tried by fire. And the fire will declare it. Yeah. What sort of work that they build. Yeah. Amen. And here the time has come. Amen. And God coming back around and showing it was him. He was there all the time. Amen. That all these things that was preached there, and it looked so mysterious, it was God revealing it. Now what's something here? Just for a little openness, and we close it off, but I just want to give you this. On the seven seals, page 6, something was happening. The seven seal book was going to be open. Now, many people never knew a promise of the book being open. But I want to show you something if you are a believer. And if you is a believer in your heart and you can't even understand the message of the hour, then may God focus you in this moment. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only thing can focus you in. And the seven seals, page 122, he said, you see, the book actually is planned and written before the foundation of the world. This book, the Bible, is really written before the foundation of the world. And Christ, being the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. And the members of his bride, their names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. And now it's been revealed whose names will endure all about it. And because you can't add to the Bible, you can't add nobody's name to the book. Amen. You can't bring in people. The people who are in the book will manifest outside the book. Because it is his kingdom which is sealed up in the world here, being revealed, opening out in every age until it comes out into the millennium. It started inwardly behind the people first, coming from negative to positive. At the end of the seven age, it was ushering. It was time for a resurrection to bring the real thing. But the people all along were being called, separated, breaking their realm, looking to the unseen, breaking the light. They had a representation. They had a theophany. They bypassed something, they come here. Hallelujah! It was something that was striking people that they met from here, from another world. They couldn't understand what Jesus was saying, but now it's been revealed in the revelation. Because when Jesus was here, he was talking to me, saying, Father, maybe they saw him bow down, close his eyes, and lift his hand and say, these have given me for the foundation of the world. And they said, what are you talking about? I don't understand that prayer. And then when they pray, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven. Because God, he said God had two sons. His created son, Adam was his only created son. And Jesus was his only begotten son. Because he comes to the human race for redemption. And then we are sons of his spirit, his attributes. Amen. His genes, that his loins. You getting me here? Now they heard him praying and talking those things, you know. And he said, call no man father on the earth. Why? Because you have one Father in heaven. So when you pray, say, our Father. Because the whole prayer is only for redeemed sons. Amen. It's a dozen in the Lamb's book. Hallelujah. Because they are praying about the kingdom that is coming. Pray, thy kingdom come. He promised them he will restore the Eden. He promised them he'll die and bring back the earth. He promised them they'll reign with him. He promised them, down through seven church ages, the blood of his new covenant is going to redeem back all those in that book. Amen. He promised them, so he tell them when they're praying, down through the seven ages, keep on praying. Amen. Our Father. Amen. Because why? You're a gene. You're a son of the Spirit. Amen. You're the attribute of God. Amen. That's the loins of God. And Balaam says, he said, no other man's sons could call me father. Because I'm not the father. Because there was nothing in my loins. It's only those in my loins could call me father. Amen. All right. So then they have to be in God's loins to call him father. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. Because only his sons in his loins could have his name. They can have part of his name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Maybe we just pull up inside of here. Thy kingdom come. Amen. Hallelujah. See? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Because what? My kingdom is not of this world. He's revealed to his sons. They tried to become king right there. He said, not so my kingdom going to come. You see? But he's telling them, my kingdom is a promise in the word. According to David, it will be established on the earth. And when that kingdom comes, you all be ruler with the rod of iron. You all be kings and priests when that kingdom comes. You all be in a glorified body when that kingdom comes. So they were praying for the revelation he was the Father. That they are part of his name. That they were going to be in the coming kingdom. It was all redemption. Amen. And when he leaves the Father's throne and take his own throne, you will know his kingdom has been ushered in. Then they'll be seeing the kingdom coming in. Amen. How much the Spirit of God, the Father. Amen. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because he's dropping down here to rule the world. Amen. See? And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us our bread for this day. This day, our day. The bread for every age that was coming to. He was that whole loaf of bread. Is that correct? That coming from heaven. And seven messengers brought that bread in every age. Unleavened bread for 7 days. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. The message for the hour. Amen. And forgive us our debts. Amen. And that was his example for us. Because when he came, he showed us, amen, how to forgive. Amen. That's why we say, I want to live. Because he showed us, as Paul says, you take his scripture, Matthew 18:23, when he told the parable, this man had only 50 pence, because he showed us how redemption comes. And this man couldn't pay it. And they got only 5 pence. And he forgave this man go to carry home 5 pence in the prison. And he said, but didn't I forgive you your debt? Why I couldn't forgive this man his debt? In other words, if I forgive you, so forgive others. It will no longer be you now. I live in you now. Your life will be like mine. Amen. I've been expressed for you now. Amen. As we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, let us not enter into temptation. Let us not be led into temptation. Amen. See? But deliver us from all evil. Total deliverance. You don't be halfway delivered from all evil. Even my evil heart on belief, Lord. Amen. Deliver us from all evil. Even my evil report. From all evil. While you're walking down them 7 ages, and you know he's your father, and you know you're a part of his name, when you are quitting and you recognize what part of the world you are for your age to live in, and then you know it's a promise of his kingdom to come, he's only on the father's throne until he takes his own throne, he's interceding for you. And he was teaching them to pray because he knew the purpose he came for was redemption. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Amen. You see? So what's something? So that book we're talking about, inside of there, God is only dealing with certain individuals. And he said these names were written there during that time. And the members of his bride, the members were sealed in the Lamb Book of Life from the foundation of the world, but it's been sealed up and now it's been revealed whose names were in the air all about it. So you can't add to the word and you can't take away from it. And there's a portion of the word already predestined down through the ages. And when that part has been revealed, then you by faith. Amen. He said, question answer the seals. Page 17. He said, nothing we save, only those names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the, I know you know this thing already, but you see, it's the way I want to bring it in into Daniel here now. Because what we on really is Revelation 10 there, but I'm taking Daniel first, because I'm showing you when that is being revealed, Daniel heard the same 7 thunders. But it was placed between the 6th and 7th trumpet. And God didn't let the prophet preach those 7 trumpets. But now the Holy Spirit is revealing it, and you will see for your own self that where it fit into the word, when these things are being revealed, it is only an elected people that he's talking about. They know they are part of it. Nothing could shake them away from it. They're predestinated unto it. Eternal life is inside of them. Nobody could confuse the mind. Amen. And the hour is here. We're going to crown him in glory because he will start the work. He will work with them all his 19 years. He himself is revealing all these things. He have never failed. He said he would do this at this time. He's doing it. Then he'll do the other part also. Then he said he would open the book. He came and opened it. Then he said he sent a prophet. He did it. Then he said he would reveal the mystery. Then he said he would quickly share around the world. He did it. He did the very same thing. And at one time the message wasn't even around the world. And yet the Bible said, oh, every kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe. And yet today they're coming from all around the world. Because God is doing what he said. At that time this was not known, God said he make it known. At this time, here he's making it known. He's keeping his word. And you as a believer, you look and you see it coming to pass. Nothing could shake you. So he says, He holds the mystery that those names are put in the Lamb before the foundation of the world, Jew or Gentile, that's all. The book holds that mystery, and the book is only unfolding it now. Not each one's name, but what the mystery of the book is while it's calling those names. Do you understand that? I call my sheep by the name, and a stranger went forward, and they enter into the door. And behold, I set before you an open door. One to come in the age, and then one to go out of the age. Because one was set before he come to the this age, behold, I set before you an open door. At the end of this age, there is one, behold, I set an open door in heaven. And John was taken up through that door. Oh my, you're coming to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few be there at find, and you find that first door. And your baptism, when you come back in, amen. And you found local fellowship. Now you found local fellowship. Because back in the name of Jesus, I put you in a local fellowship. But the other one put you in the fellowship with Melchizedek. Hallelujah! After get whipped out and they give you a part of his name. Then you go up through another door. Caught up! Come up hither. Amen. And I will show you the things hereafter. Amen. Hereafter! You're already overcoming that age. Now I'm showing you the things hereafter that you are going to enter into. We're going to come upon you and all these things. But I'm showing you a door set in heaven. That open book became the open door. And that open book, when the bride ate it, the door was in her. And that they come to the open door in the bride. Amen. Then she is taken up. Amen. Into heaven. And the open door is in heaven right now. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Because a lot of people are going to come through that other open door, but they won't be able to go through this open door. There are people that are going through this open door. Aren't you glad for this other open door? Escape this world. Amen. So the book doesn't say leave it as we save any time in the church or on my nephew or whosoever. No, it don't. It just shows the mystery, unfolds the mystery of what the thing is. But we ourselves by faith believe it. And all of you who come in here late, in this last late season here, and these little things here, the Holy Spirit just waving back some of these things now. And it's so timely for some of you to understand what the others. Now you come and see others, and they sit there and you think, well, the others just members here. It might have some that way. But some of the others is already taken up and is part of this mystery. I know they are part of this mystery. And you who come in this hour, in this late hour, amen, when maybe the national door could already be closed. Now, listen to what I'm saying. They're a door for the age. The generation that will be closed and nobody, only each can be saved when the last one coming, wherever they might be. Yes. Now, nationally speaking, the electing train that could come in already. Yes. And if you go on to preach 100 years, no more train that could be saved. Yes. Now, I'm not saying that it's so. But the prophet says, when that last name coming, if we make you have 1,000 years and keep preaching, another one will not be saved. You're only saving those names in that book. Then where does it come to? Some little sensation. It comes to a divine revelation in your heart. You'll be happy. You'll have stimulation. Because shout and jump and dance. But you'll never tell nobody because you're shouting and dancing. You have the Holy Ghost. And no, sir. You're telling me you're shouting and dancing because you see your name in the book. And the evidence that you see them in the book, the mystery that name is in the book. Well, that name you see in the book is a mystery in the book. Amen. For the age you're living in. Amen. And that is coming to pass, and you have that as your testimony. Amen. Amen. So by the grace of God, we're going to strike more and more that I just don't want to go too late. So you can stop here. So notice, in Daniel there, when you pick up that book, now you go and read home, Daniel 12 there, seal the book until the end time. And Daniel 7, and the books were open, and the dead was raised. But there was a group, thousand and thousand, ministered to him. That group was the mystery all the time in the Bible. Though they saw it, they never knew who that group was. It's in the New Testament, that group begin to be revealed. People thought it was angels, all kind of thing. But that was the group done for the ages who was taken up when the other section was being revealed. That group there, who was standing by his side. All them teachers in the Old Testament, they desire to look into these things. But they began to reveal to Paul, and he began to preach a mystery. And it began to unfold down through the ages. Then the last days, when the book was open, they thought everything was open. No. But Revelation 20, you pick it up, and you know the preachers here many times. Revelation 20, 11 to 15, and the books are open, another book called the Book of Life. And the Book of Life is open at the second resurrection. Then what book was open in 1963? Before the first resurrection. And at the second resurrection, the ancient of days stood there with his hair white like wool. And before the first resurrection, the supreme judge came with his hair white like wool. Amen. There's two comings of the supreme judge, two sections of the book, two resurrections. And each section pertains to a resurrection. Amen. Amen. And a section has already been opened. The other one will be open at the white throne judgment. And in this section that is open, that is the bride who was in Christ. The foolish virgins, though you get good works, all these things, is in another section. In this section is the bride and the 144,000. Who will be filled with the Holy Ghost also. And be in the millennium. And when Micah comes, he comes to stand for Benjamin. Amen. The little group who will get the Holy Ghost because they're in the Lamb's book. Amen. I want to take this little thing here piece by piece by piece and show you exactly how beautiful that is inside of you. And you will see where what is happening. Your mind will not be confused. This church will not be without understanding. Amen. You will know what is going on. Amen. No song Barry and all his voices will confuse you. You will know the word that has been delivered unto us through a prophet. You will see the revelation of the scripture right there before you. And you will take your experience and identify with the word and see if you are part of that thing that's happening on the earth now. Amen. Because remember, it's only one people on the earth right now this morning who possess eternal life. Amen. There's thousands upon thousands in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But only a little group of the true seed who have eternal life. Alright? And the ones who are baptized by the Holy Ghost, they cannot test. They don't have the testimony of Jesus. And the ones who have eternal life have the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Think carefully what I'm saying. So then you'll understand. I will tie it so tight and strangle every devil. Choke them to death. Those who have eternal life have the testimony of the word for the age. Being through the corrupt soul is that word. That word, that name in the book. That name in the book is God Gene. Amen. 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 The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a temporal gift. Amen. Fall on the just and the unjust. But the unjust is not converted by the baptism because there's no gene in there. Amen. So they could never bring that word, have that testimony, because it's not going on in them. So since they have no word to point to, they can only point to a feeling, point to a manifestation, point to a sensation, but they cannot point to that word that is being identified, showing that they are the matching piece to that promise. That is why the temple will not be impersonated. Because you cannot be the word. To be the word, you have to be a thought. You can impersonate anything else but the word. That word measures up the whole thing. Amen. Amen. So what a tremendous time. Aren't you happy you're part of it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let us worship a little bit, sing a new song. The Lord is my song and my strength, and it become my salvation. You have a couple of dedications that the people get a children ready. Just get your heart centered upon Him. What an hour we are living in. God is not slack concerning His promise. He's the author and the finisher. When you were in darkness, He called you out of darkness to walk in His marvelous light. And as you walk in the light, as He is the light, you had fellowship one with the other. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. To know that He's our satisfying portion. To know when we sing, He's our song. When we stand, He's our strength. He is our very salvation. He is the all in all. If He means that much to you this morning, if you look in your life as a believer, you serve Him all these years, you stand on the verge of the promise, it's been revealed in your heart, we are at that time. Then you could stand with confidence, knowing that He who came down and called you is going to fill you with all the fullness of God. He's going to say, "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell in." He will set you aside and show you to this world. The Lord is my Oh, with deep meaning in your heart, sing it from your soul. You know what it me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. it up one more time. Let's give it on to him. Listen, wherever I'm, I'm prisoner. Wherever I am, I'll praise. Wherever I am, I'll praise. Leave your song, so praise this morning. Oh, praise him where you are this morning. Don't just sing it, praise him. Sister, sing it. Oh, we need house this morning. Oh, it shall abide in your heart. Everybody, let us sing it and lift up his name, praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father. Lord, how we thank you to know in the name of Jesus has lifted us up, Lord, into a high place. You have delivered us. Hallelujah. Thy word is true, Father. We thank you this morning. We give you honor and glory. Wherever we are, in our job, in our home, out in the streets, Lord, in the house of God, wherever we are, we praise you. We lift up your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Amen. Let's just sing one of the few, one of the few. Do you know you're one of the few? In this great hour, when it's only one in a million,
Amen. Amen. How many know that?
That the hope will not be forever.
Oh, right where you stand this morning.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may have a seat. You have a little change here this time. Do something different. Amen. We have a couple of brothers here who like to make a confession. They want to make the wrongs right. And we normally have this on like a Tuesday night, but we want to do this morning. This is the hour that we should make our wrongs right. Amen. We want to stand. The only way to have confidence if there is no condemnation. The only way condemnation can remove is your sins must be in the blood. Amen. So this time we have Brother Wayne here. We'd like to make a confession unto the Lord this morning. Let me just come forward.
God bless you this morning, saints. Want to give God thanks for being here this morning, really. And just want to be straight at the point, you know, and not to run around, but it's a long time I've been in service, and at least the saints are aware of the fact, and know, my car was down too, but, you know, that didn't alter the fact that I should have been away so long. Well, it was a barricade of circumstances that, you know, surrounded me, and just didn't know how to face it. I'm just sorry about it seeing this morning. God, thanks for intervening and renewing my spirit and praying that He would heal all my wounds and broken spirit. I'm really ashamed of myself and know that I bring shame in the name of the Lord. Just been away so long, and the prophet said it's a sin even not coming here in His presence, and I just did it because the circumstances that surrounded me. But I'm sorry, I'm going to allow it to happen again. That's all I want to say. Pray for me and the family, and that God will restore me back in His fellowship and walk on in the purpose that I was called for. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We also have a phantom here. We'd like to come and also with a confession.
God bless you, saints. Well, I, like the brother, has been away from church a pretty long time, but my problem was kind of might have been different than his. Is my life wasn't right. I had been unfaithful to my family, my wife, and everything went wrong. It's a whole long story, and I couldn't get out of it. I actually prayed and I said, Lord, if you get me out of it, I'll go back to church. If you don't, then rather I'm not going back. Most of the brethren come around on my workplace, try to invite me back to church. I won't come. So the brother Allen, I think he wrote some letters and whatever next. He'd get down, he'd know where I work, Brother Robbie and Brother Decent, all of them. Try to encourage me to come back to church, even Brother John. But I asked the Lord if He don't break the barrier that is keeping me from church, then I wouldn't come back. And then we got a little baby, and I told the Lord, I kind of make a time. I said, if You break the barrier, I dedicate my life back to the Lord when I dedicate my baby. And then the baby was born, and it was in the hospital there, but the barrier was still there. And there are other barriers in my life that I could stand up and face it and bring an end to it. But this is one that I really couldn't. If the Lord didn't intervene, well, I'll go down the drain. It was on Tuesday. Unexpectedly, it happened. It happened, the Lord broke the barrier in the sense that I never believed He would have done it. It was so simple that it surprised me. And the reason for getting involved on the human part of it might have been reasonable. But the Son of God wasn't. Way back out in the world, 12 years ago, I have two children, a boy and a girl. And I didn't see them from since they were kids until they were 7 going to school. And the mother would just keep them away from me. And I saw them a few months after they got big, and then came to Trinidad. And then I saw the mother over here. And I thought it was a chance for me to get to see them again and get to have them. And then I got into a whole set of mess that I couldn't come out of, yet end up not having my children. And then that kept me away, and most of the brethren that met me thought that it was my job that kept me away from church, because I worked day and night. But it was never my job. I'd listen to them, and well, that's it. You come to the church, I couldn't come to church. They invited me down to the special meetings. But I thought, if I come to the special meetings and I go home, I'll be in the same condition. So it doesn't make sense coming to church. And then Tuesday, the Lord delivered me. And I waited until Friday to make sure it was really the Lord. And when I realized that was it, I drove up to Brother Vernon, told him what happened, what kept me from church, and told him I want to come back to church. And he asked if I'd make a confession, so sure, and make it right with the church. And I want to ask the church to forgive me. Because if I'm not forgiven, then, well, I just go to my mind. My job and everything is all right, but I'm miserable. If you understand, if you can understand what I mean, everything on the outside the Lord has blessed me with, but then I'm miserable. Just not being in fellowship, just not following the word. And this morning I want to ask the church to forgive me, that I can be back on the fellowship and serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So we appreciate that. It's kind of hard many times, the flesh, but it's good for the soul.
Amen.
See, obedience to God's will is what we should all strive to be at all times. But I brought brother here from Guyana and brought him right here. Remember, he stood here testify the very morning he was in the first service. And then come and we had to get a couple of problems with him and had to talk to him. And then, through not even speaking the truth, then the devil just moved in there. You see, and really began to tear him apart. But in his heart, he really wanted to serve God and come back. We had a long talk there on Saturday. And I trust by the grace of God that you pray for these brothers. Brother Wayne being here, standing here in the house of God, as an elder brother dear, assisting the house of God, and the usher and all these things, and then just staying away like that, and, you know, having a lot of things to make right with people, and, you know, when you come out, and sometimes the devil could just creep up upon you and get you in so much different things. And that's why, you know, we ought to be praying one for the other. And with time something happening, the devil, you know, don't stay away. That's the biggest mistake to make.
Yes.
Amen. Because what you have to do later on, in 4, 5, 6 months past, is the same thing you have to do right there.
Amen.
Amen. And right there, because the step is to make it right, but the way of the transgressor is hard. But they are without chastisement are bastards and not sons. Amen? So many as they love, he rebuke and chasten, and is that they should bring forth more fruit. So let us all stand. We have a dedication this time. Brother and Sister Alert, we'd like to dedicate the newborn baby girl. Her name is Omega Zoe, and Brother and Sister Fenton here would like to dedicate their child name, the boy, and they call it Vinod Joshua. But I tell you, you know what I think of it? I say, Lord, you know, that child, so much died before, and that one got to be born, and then that one born almost closer to death than alive. And then that's the way I have to make it. Like I make it by the skin of my teeth. Amen. But he made it anyhow, come to the jaws of death and make it. But I take that for me, amen. That if I make it that way, if the balance of the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner be ungodly appear? So even though we scarcely be saved, amen, we thank God anyhow. So let us sing our little dedication song, bring them in, the parents will come with the children.
Bring them in.
more time.
Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Bible says, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into it. And he took up his hands, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand in your divine presence, we've come to the end of this service. How we are thankful that in this hour, Lord God, just before your coming, we could sit in heavenly places like this, gather together as a family in Christ. Lord, you could speak to our hearts. You could warm our hearts by the fire of your Spirit. By your word, you can instruct us in righteousness and prepare us and make us ready. When you come, we can appear before you, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. We thank you, Lord, for the families. Lord, all that are gathered in here today, many coming from the east and the west and the north and the south to feast with the King, to dine with his guests. How blessed these pilgrims are. Oh God, as we think of your great love towards us and your great blessings, almost every family here, Lord, that sit in your presence, fellowship along your word, walk in the light that you've sent in this hour, Lord, is looking forward to see the household safe. Yes. How they could thank you, Father, yes, for the great and wondrous things you have done in their lives. Yes. Lord, here we have two families standing before the altar this morning. They have come. It is their time of dedication. Yes. Children have been born into their homes. For brother and sister Luke, yes, you bless them with a gift. Yes. Omega, Zoe. Lord, they stand with their other children in your presence. They want their lives to be dedicated as they offer up the little girl whom you have blessed them with. They recognize it comes from you, Father. Yes. They recognize your blessing. We live in such an age when people are complaining. People don't want children. They think it costs a living and all kind of reasonable excuses. Most of the time, they shun the responsibility, fail to live according to the true purpose you have placed in here. Yes. But Father, these have come, standing in your presence, with a heart full of love and thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
Giving back unto you the little children you have blessed them with, Lord. Lord, we stand here by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to give you thanks first for granting the mother safe delivery. For blessing brother and sister Luke, Father, with this little girl. Oh God, may you receive her. We commit her into your great everlasting arms. You watch over her and protect her. You grant her health and strength. In this time when there is much plagues and diseases upon the earth, the Holy Spirit at all times be a shield around the child. No God, May she bring joy and warmth in the home and in the hearts of her parents. And Father, may you grant them all it will take that they will grow up. The time that she's committed unto them until you come. And Lord, they're the responsible and faithful parents dedicated to the service of the Lord and committed to the responsibility that you have granted unto them in this hour by giving them this girl. We thank you for her little life, Father. You have strange ways at your work. Use her little life to be a blessing.
Yes.
So many times we think of the prophet one time telling that story about the parents, Lord, who is going to be divorced. And they begin to tear at one another and begin to divide all the furniture in the home and all the belongings. And then finally when they came to that little baby shoe, oh God, it was something they had in common.
Yes.
So you could use little things, Lord, to
do
great things.
Yes,
Father, let her little life be a blessing and an inspiration in the way which you can so use little things to do great things. We thank you for her. Bless the rest of the family.
Thank you.
May the lives be dedicated to thy service. And may the lives they live be salty lives. We create a thirst in the hearts of those that have been in contact with them.
Yes.
And Lord, in the environment in which they live, others will take note that they are with Jesus and that Jesus is with them. And their lives will be for a testimony. Grant it, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ for your honor and for your glory. Lord, brother and sister Fenton, Lord, you brought them from a strange land. They come from Guyana to sojourn here. Lord, you brought them under this word. And you did bless them, Father. And you did meet the physical needs in their lives. Yet, oh God, as he made his confession this morning, he had been ungrateful in many ways to your loving kindness and your tender mercies. But the Bible says that Father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them not fear him. He remembered our frame, he knew that we are dust and ashes. And oh God, you said that though we sin, there's an advocate with the Father. Sin interrupts divine fellowship, but confession restores it. We are thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, can be applied to confess sins. And again, those who transgress could stand once more with confidence.
Hallelujah.
In your presence. Knowing the experiences, the things that have come through, the past lives, Lord, there is so much. But it's written in your word, to whom much is forgiven, they will love more.
Yes.
Let it be revealed in his heart the extent that you have done for him, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In such a way, it would never ever leave him.
Yes.
He would live with a deep sincerity and the gratitude for you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, he would desire no time to go to contrary to what you have done for him. Or his wife, who too have made mistakes in the past. Lord, they've come and so many a time they have conceived and have lost the children. But at this time, you have seen it fit, Father, to break that thread. This child being born, oh God, seemingly closer to death than alive, premature, struggling for life, Father. One time it seemed that it was doing so well and it had been taken back and it testified in the incubator. And the child hanging there in the balance in the hands of God to see whether you let it live or it would continue in the same pattern like the ones before. But the victory is won.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is time this morning. Holding even the arms to offer them up. Oh God, let the blood of Jesus, that blood of every sin and transgression. And Lord God, they offer this little child unto you. May the great mercy and the blessings of Almighty God be upon him. Grant him health and strength. Lord, we offer unto you for a life of service. Grant them, O God, all of it take. Make real parents out of them. That the love and the affection, the care, the responsibility, all of it take, Father, to care for him in the way that godly Christian parents would care for him. Yes. Knowing you are a real example unto us, the real parent. For we are only a shadow of a parent to what you are, Father. Let your spirit be upon their lives, and they can care for him. For you have committed him into their keeping. Yes. Until you would come, and we'll all be together with you. Then we won't need earthly parents. And Father, may you bless their home. May you bless their lives. Let it be dedicated afresh. Make them real lights, Father.
Yes.
Let them live faithful lives.
Yes.
Nourish up in the good word of faith. And may they bring forth fruit of righteousness. May they be like trees planted by the river of water. The leaves shall not wither and bring forth fruit in due season. God, may you grant it, we ask. Bless us all as we stand in your presence today. Part of the great ransom church of the living God, contending for the great promise of God in this hour, separated from all unbelief, to walk this perfect walk, to live alive, totally surrendered unto you in this hour. God, you know our hearts this morning. You know our innermost desires. You know what we are on the inside. Let it be genuine. Let it be real, Father. Let it be for your honor and for your glory. Blessed be stranger amongst us also. God, reveal yourself unto them according to your promise. Reveal word in this hour you have sent. That they might see the way clearly and walk in it. If you be able to be baptized, may they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, we ask that you dismiss us from this place. And that presence will go with each and every one of us. You bless every home represented here. Every family, Father. And oh God, may your watch between us. And may your love abide in our hearts. And may we have that rich, fervent love one for the other.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, you taught us to pray as a family.
Yes, Lord.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God, may you go with us now and take us safe to our homes. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may have a seat. Learning to lean, learning to lean. As we are dismissed, may God richly bless you and keep you in his presence, abiding in his love. Learning to lean, lean on Jesus. Oh, give me my power. I'm learning to lean, not on our own understanding, but on his everlasting love.
to me from your heart. Learn him to lean on him.